FNR, Football Nation Radio. Culture Cafe with Carlos Alberto Diego on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Welcome everyone, live across Australia, this is FNR Football Nation Radio, Australia's first and only 24-hour radio station dedicated to the beautiful, beautiful game of football. I'm Carlos Alberto Diego and this is Calcio Cafe, the only breakfast show dedicated to football in Australia, and it's live here on FNR Football Nation Radio, streaming football 24-7. They say it's a radio revolution and it certainly is, and you can join in the conversation anytime today and you can win big if you do. Today on our show, we are giving away to our best caller and SMSer a traditional premium pack Panettone from our great friends there at Ital. Just give us a call on 9944 9999. That's 9944 9999. 03 in front of that if you're outside Victoria, and plus 613 if you're overseas. You can SMS us your thoughts and comments also on 0428 933 345. 0428 933 345. And of course, you can join us give us a call on our live shows throughout the day today and win that wonderful Panettone from Ital. And it's a fantastic prize to get, especially leading to Christmas. It's Christmas time where we're also giving it away here at FNR for all those people out there who are our listeners. Coming up on the show in this hour, in the cafe, we've got Stephen Mork, a Melbourne City star who's done so well this season after coming back from overseas. A bit of a lean time overseas, but really resurrected his career at Melbourne City. We'll be having a chat with him. In the club corner, we catch up with Peter Songer, Vice President of Hobart United Football Club. We talk about the Hobart United Club, the diversity of the club, what they're doing in the community there, and really getting down to the grassroots. And in another really powerful Power and the Passion segment, we chat to George Halkias from the Big Issue National Street Soccer Program. George does wonderful, wonderful work and has done for a long, long time terrific work in the community, using football as a tool to really capacity build a lot of people who are down and out in the community, and really get them up and running using football to do that. George is an expert in that area and he's done such great work over many, many years in doing that. We also speak to Fox Sports W League commentator Amy Duggan. She's talking about the W League games on the weekend, and also what's to come this weekend. Of course, some terrific results on the weekend that we can talk about with Amy, and of course, looking ahead to the games this weekend. So there's much, much more. So let's get into it.
Oh, that's brilliant! Oh, that's wonderful!
FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Absolutely. To kick off the show today, what we'll do is we're looking to get George Halkias on the line. We will just go through some Champions League results this morning. Games have kicked off already, and we're in the 24th minute. All games kicked off at 6:45 Eastern, and Juventus are up 1-0 against Olympiacos. Scorer there in the 15th minute is Cuadrado for Juventus, and it's a game that they really do need to get something out of. Because there is a chance of them, of course, not going through to the knockout rounds if they don't get the win today. Manchester United and CSKA Moscow, 0-0 after 25 minutes. Bayern Munich are 1-0 up against Paris Saint-Germain. We've got Lewandowski scoring there in the 8th minute. Nice and early goal there for Bayern Munich, and gets them off to a really good start. Barcelona 0-0 draw at the moment after 24 minutes against Sporting Lisbon. Sporting Lisbon does need to get this win if they've got any chance at all going to the knockout stages. After 25 minutes, this is a really, really important game for both Chelsea and Atletico Madrid, especially for Atletico Madrid. 0-0 draw after 25 minutes at home to Chelsea. Let's see where that goes. Celtic 0-0 and Anderlecht 0-0, 26 minutes in. Those two teams can't qualify for the next round. So that's really just a sort of a dead rubber there. Roma 0-0 and Karabag 0-0 after 25 minutes. And of course, Basel, who do need to get the win. They've had a good Champions League run so far. They are 1-0 up away from home to Benfica. We'll bring the rest of those updates and those scores to you as the show progresses and also throughout the journos hour to keep you up to date with all the UEFA Champions League rules. Champions League fixtures and let you know how that's all going. Let's have a chat now. With a man who I've known for a long, long time, a guy who has done wonderful work in the community and runs the National Street Soccer Program with the Big Issue. George Halkias joins us on the line in the Power and the Passion segment. Good morning to you, George.
Morning, Carlos. Nice to talk to you again.
Absolutely, mate. It's been a while, and I know you continue to do fantastic work in the community. I know that you've been doing some stuff with Melbourne City and, of course, the Homeless Street Soccer Program that you almost created and founded many, many years ago. Tell us about the National Street Soccer Program and, you know, how many participants has it grown to and how many years has it been running?
Yeah, well, I think we're up to about 13 years now. We started as a pilot program back in 2004-05, and I arrived at the Big Issue organisation that I hope many of your listeners are familiar with, but it has a proud history, helping homeless and marginalised people through the sales of that magazine. So when I arrived, we got an invitation to send a team to what's called the Homeless World Cup, and I scratched my head at the time, being a football lover, but also, you know, working in the helping professions, and I found out that across the world that this street soccer movement had started using football to change the lives of homeless and marginalised people, and embarked on a project with the then editor of the magazine to start engaging the people that were selling the magazine and also other people doing it tough to love the game and try and improve their lives through it. So we started as a pilot program, and 13 years later, and we became national in 2007. We now run in 18 locations around the country, and you know, we've helped since 2007 around 7,000 people engage through the program. So it's been a bit of a journey for the Big Issue and for myself, but I think most of us can understand the power of sport to, you know, support when you're down, to give you discipline, to give you purpose and belonging, and I guess it's based on those true values. But yeah, it's been a great journey and interesting to see where the program's grown from something small to, you know, a large-scale network across the country.
George, I've personally seen your work in prisons and also seen your work out in the community through the National Street Soccer Program, also the Homeless World Cup in Melbourne all those years ago. One of my favourite memories of everything I've done in football, that was one of the spectacular events that I'll never, ever forget. How tough was it? I know the momentum's built in the program now and the word's got around, probably people refer other people to the program. But when you first started, how were you able to get people who were down and out, who were rock bottom in their lives, to, you know, even contemplate playing football to help them with those other areas that you talked about, the self-esteem, the discipline, the sense of worth?
Look, it wasn't easy at the time, particularly with the vendors. I think we had to bribe a few with a few extra magazines for them to sell. But it took a bit of encouragement, understanding that sometimes their life can be pretty chaotic. They got a lot happening, lots of appointments with different people trying to help them. But I guess just explain to them that it was less about the actual sport in itself, and it was about the camaraderie and the support and coming together and having fun. So yeah, they'd learn some new skills and get fitter and all those sort of things that football offers, but we wanted to create a safe environment that they would enjoy, and that's what happened, I guess, through word of mouth and through communication to a lot of the agencies and services that support these people. You know, we grew and grew, and it's not that easy, because a lot of these people, as I said, face different challenges, you know, mental health and depression. So for some of them, getting out of bed just to get to a training session is a huge achievement in itself. So for some, a healthy nudge and persistent sort of encouragement from myself or someone locally to do that. So we continually try and grow our programs, but we understand that there are barriers to participation. And so we do rely on, you know, key organisations that help these people to bring people along to their training, to their sessions, and you know, try and get there. Once they get there, they're pretty much a captured audience. They love it, and they come back on a weekly basis. And some of the players have actually been in the program for many years, and the program is their family, it's their community, and being a part of it is really important to them.
Well, the Homeless World Cup itself gives them a bit of you know, a bit of a direction, a bit of something to aspire to. And this year in Oslo in 2017, they had the Homeless World Cup. I'd like to keep an eye on how the boys have gone. Can you tell us how it all went for you this year?
Yeah, are you checking rankings? Or how
no,
we
no,
went?
I'm just quite happy for them to turn up and have a kick around.
Yeah, mate. I know. I think my friends and a few others often laugh because, you know, we usually pick our team on attitude and attendance and capacity for people to turn their lives around. So sometimes the football results don't go our way. But what we do when we do get over there and what we did in Oslo was really represent our country with distinction, show that spirit of what our program's about, which is changing lives. A respect for the opportunity that they had, respect for the referees, etc. And our team did brilliantly well. Oslo is a beautiful city. Norway's a great country. We got to do some sightseeing. We got to go to a World Cup qualifier. Actually, we saw Norway versus Azerbaijan, which was awesome for them to get that experience as well. So for the 8 people that got to come with us, it was a beautiful experience to represent their country, go overseas, and, you know, when they're given opportunity, they can lift. And I'm happy to say that a lot of them have come back and transitioned well and looking at different sort of dreams in life and trying to use that as a platform to move forward. So, yeah, it was a great experience. And I think we've been to 9 Homeless World Cups, and you were there in 2008 in Melbourne. They're pretty unique events, pretty special events where people from all over the world come to celebrate the power of football to change their lives. And yeah, we're almost 10 years since that event in Melbourne. So, you know, the legacy of that event, of course, is our national program. So the whole purpose of the Homeless World Cup that took place in Melbourne was to grow our program and engage government and the like. And that's what's happened. So our vision was realised.
Might be time for another one in Melbourne there, George. You were so successful at Federation Square. I'll never forget. It was fantastic, mate. And really, it was one of those ones where I could see the inspiration that the players got from all those people. I mean, we had packed crowds at Federation Square and also Byron Maher down the road, and just such excitement around that. Just, it would have been life-changing for some of those players.
Oh, I think it was life-changing for the players, and I think we had 1,000 volunteers, including yourself, on the commentary box. People came together. It showed a care and compassion to those who were facing those challenges, gave people a sense that people cared about them, but also they drew inspiration from each other. And so, you know, the 500-odd players that were there enjoyed the experience. But I think the crowds were massive. I don't know if you recall, but we had coverage from SBS, and the late Les Murray was there supporting us, and Craig Foster, and they televised the final live. And so just to get the whole community behind us really showed, you know, a sense of community. And I guess that's what football does offer. But that was a great event. Whether it comes back to Melbourne, I think, or to another city in Australia's up for discussion, but it's a huge role, you know, to put that in place. But what the great thing was for the outcome was to have that national program eventuate out of that event. So we're very lucky to have that. And recently we received 4-year funding from the Federal Department of Health. So our program's in good stead and period of consolidation for us, which is a good thing.
So, George, how about, I mean, they're real feel-good events and people go away, you know, really being uplifted by what happened. I mean, even the spectators, like I said, the volunteers and the players themselves. But, you know, that can sort of wear off and people go back to their normal lives. Tell us about some success stories where players have actually used, you know, what you're doing in the actual program as a building block for, you know, really turning their lives around.
Yeah, look, for some of our players, I'll be honest, just getting them there for 2 hours and getting them exercised and out of trouble is a good thing. But for others, through the program, A, they try and improve their health, but we try and connect them to services and supports. But some of our players come with a range of different issues that they face. You know, you might recall one of our players back in 2008 who was a recovering alcoholic, a former professional jockey, and he was able to, you know, study in the field of alcohol and substance abuse and become a worker and the like. And he ended up bringing players and referring players to our training. So he sort of did the full 360, which was pretty awesome. But a number of them, and I guess I get to share a longitudinal study and watch them over the years and see how they've improved. People with mental health that you never would have thought that could turn up to one session. And, you know, been coming for 5, 6, 7 years and, you know, starting to be employed, starting to work and study and function in the community like the rest of us. So it's great and inspiring to watch. We're not the only sort of factor to it. There's a lot of great services out there that work with the participants, and I think the thing that we always espouse is they get the right professional support. But what we do is give them the stability, the purpose, and the belonging. And a real constant. So in a week that can be pretty chaotic, their training session with us is somewhere they can go for positivity, encouragement, mentoring. And more recently, we've introduced the health component. So when they come to training and get to kick that ball around, they'll also get information, advice about different aspects of health that can help them improve their health, because we know disadvantaged people do face enormous barriers to good health.
And George, if people want to help, you know, support the program or just help you resource the program, I mean, is there anything they can do? Some of our listeners might be really, might trigger something off in their mind about wanting to help out or something like that. Is there something? Is there a website or something that people can do to do that?
If you can just jump onto the Big Issue website, www.bigissue.org.au, and contact us if you want to help. But there's different ways from coming down and playing. So I think one of the great things is that our players don't want to feel isolated or ostracised from the rest of the community. So we have corporate groups and community groups that come and play, which I think is pretty special. Some of the health professionals come and maybe do a short presentation about different areas of health, that, you know, information that might be useful to our players. Perhaps there's some kit or some equipment that people want to donate from their clubs that they haven't used or are not going to use again. It could be a range of ways that we can work towards that. Perhaps they can help us run a few small events. So within our local programs, we run some fun events. You know, they're organising their Christmas parties, a few tournaments, those sort of things. But, through a bit of discussion, we can work out a way. And, I guess most of us are driven by a love of the game. And when you see the passion with which our players engage the program and also the benefits that they get out of it, I think people would find it really rewarding to get involved.
Now, George, you're a guy that I believe is a hero in the community with all the work you do, and you've done for a long, long time. When it wasn't sexy, you were still doing it. You were starting these things up.
Is it sexy now?
I mean, sometimes it does get sexy with the big events. Everyone wants to be involved, but when it all quietens down, you're the one that is there as a constant. You do a lot of public speaking in this area, and you do a lot of presentation sort of stuff. If people want to get in touch with you and, hear your stories and how you can inspire people, what can they do? You haven't asked for this at all. I'm just letting people know out there that...
I appreciate that. So very fortunate occasionally to be asked to tell my story, how the program evolved, to talk about community leadership and to talk about how sport can change the world and have social impact. So to a few corporate groups or a few groups that want to draw inspiration, I get out there and do tell my story. So they can contact me on my own website, which is georgehalkias.com.au. So appreciate that plug too.
No, I mean, you haven't asked for it. It's just something that I believe you've got a story to tell, and you've helped so many people over the years. Like I said, when it wasn't sexy, and in these days when it's not sexy, you're still there as a constant, mate. But keep up the fantastic work. I've personally seen your work in the area of the National Street Soccer Program. The Homeless World Cup is one of the most uplifting experiences I've had in football, and I've done a lot across, been to World Cups, all that sort of stuff. It was just one of the most memorable experiences of my life. So keep it up, George, and we hope to have you again on the show soon.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks for your support.
Good on you, mate. That's George Halkias, who founded the Big Issue National Street Soccer Program. A great man in the community. If you haven't heard about George Halkias, just get onto his website, give you an idea of the sort of man he is. This is Calcio Cafe with Carlos Alberto Diego on FNR Football Nation Radio. There'll be more after the break, so stick around.
FNR Football Nation Radio. Culture Cafe with Carlos Alberto Diego on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Live across Australia, streaming football 24/7, this is FNR, Football Nation Radio with with Carlos Alberto Diego and Calcio Cafe, Australia's only breakfast show dedicated to football. We've got plenty coming up in the show. Stefan Mork from Melbourne City will be joining us very, very soon. We'll give you an update on the Champions League results. But my favourite time every week is to talk W League. And the best in the business is Amy Duggan, Fox Sports W League commentator, joins us on the line. Good morning to you, Amy.
Good morning, Carlos. How are you going?
Yeah, really good, mate. You sound so up and about at this time of the morning, ready to talk W League.
Absolutely. I have three kids too. You know, I'm on my way to working towards my own soccer team, but they do get me up bright and early.
Yeah,
yes, W League.
Is it a back four that you have there?
No. You know how disappointing it is? They all love to score goals. Strikers. Killing me.
Just like a mum.
Anyway, round seven coming up this weekend. How awesome is that?
Absolutely.
And all our Matildas, of course, back on deck after their escapades the week before. So we got a taste of them last week and they'll be back in the full swing of things this week.
Absolutely. And just going back to the round six game, Sam Kerr, after scoring for fun in for Australia and the Matildas against China, scored the winner against Western Sydney Wanderers away from home for Perth. Back in business, Perth Glory.
She absolutely is, and they are too, although they're sitting equal with Brisbane this week on the ladder, and we'll talk about that in a minute because they've got the bye in round seven. But Sam Kerr, I can't talk enough about this girl, and I don't really know what else to say about her except she's absolutely amazing. Look, there's a purple patch, there's good form, there's, you know, scoring lots of goals, and then there's this girl. She's won every award, well, almost except for one, which we all think she should have won, award across the board this year. She's on a goal-scoring spree, and every time she touches the ball, we get to see the fantastic flyer in action, and it's just great to watch.
Mm. Amy, you must obviously, you know, being a W League commentator, you played the game yourself, you played the Matildas, you've watched all these Matildas grow up. It just seems like Sam Kerr's really not only developed and matured as a footballer, but as a person, she's actually almost adopted a role model status now, and she's so good in front of the media. When she won the Asian Footballer of the Year, the Women's Footballer of the Year last week, her performance in front of the cameras and really in front of the world's media was fantastic.
Absolutely. Look, it's been coming for a little while. I think in the football fraternity we've seen, you know, her prowess and her ability for a little while, but it's really hit the world stage this year. And especially after an outstanding year in America, of course, she got Player of the Year there too, don't forget, and set some goal-scoring records. So a phenomenal year. But you're right, she is maturing. It was really interesting to read some articles on her in the last couple of weeks, a bit more personal articles, you know, about how she's feeling about the whole process and how she's dealing with the process. Because it's new in our game for someone to have this kind of status where they're recognised when they go out or to the shops or to a bar or wherever they go. And dealing with that is obviously a huge thing for a young girl, but she's shown maturity beyond her years. She's focusing on the team. She's focusing on getting results, and it's obviously working for her.
Do you think that the fact that she comes from a family that has had elite footballers in another sport, her brother Daniel was obviously an AFL footballer, a lot of spotlight on him when he was a player and also since he's finished playing, do you think that that's sort of taught her be very measured with media and how to approach and maybe almost distance the personal side from the actual football side?
Yeah, I don't think she's distancing herself so much. I just think at the moment everyone wants to talk about how well she's playing. Mm. I absolutely think her past has shown her that the media can be your best friend, but it can also be your worst enemy. Mm. And she's guarded in a certain way, of course, but in all honesty, she's such a fantastic girl. I honestly don't think there's anything to hide or anything that's not amazing about her. So, you know, she's raw, she's honest, she's truthful about her past and her family's past, and there's, you know, it's all open slather. It's just that she's such a good person and a great player that, you know, there's no need to make anything horrible about her. She's doing so well.
Yeah, she's handling it so well. It's fantastic and may continue on for many years to come. Sydney FC.
Yes, unfortunately, we won't see her this week, though, will we?
She's injured, is she? Or...
No, Perth has the bye this week.
Oh, Perth has the bye this week. Sorry, yes, of course. I'll miss her this week, but I'm sure she'll be scoring a lot of goals at training or something.
Absolutely will, and she'll be back with a vengeance the week after, and it'll be great for her, actually, because she had a little niggle in her quad, and this will give her a chance to settle that down. Not that it's slowing her down anyway.
Absolutely.
So, yes, Sydney. Mm. Sydney, the big mover and the shaker last week, off the bottom of the ladder for the first time this season. So, It is a derby, of course, against Western Sydney at ANZ on Saturday night. That's probably a match of the round, although I'm quite keen to see if Brisbane can get four in a row on Sunday as well.
Absolutely. And, of course, Sydney's sort of recovered a little bit over the last couple of weeks, getting a couple of wins in a row. Last week, I think it was a come-from-behind win, the weekend before. And, of course, they've defeated Melbourne Victory, who started off the season pretty well. I thought they were pretty impressive early on, but they've fallen away a little bit. But another 2-0 win for Sydney there. It looks like they're taking a little bit of form into this derby.
They certainly are, you're right. Lisa Devana's goal last weekend, got goal of the week, a 60-metre run and just finishing it off, it was phenomenal. She was unbelievable. And it's great to see her in career-best form. And when these girls go into camp with the Matildas, you know, they rise a little bit and they take that back to their clubs. And it doesn't just push them, it pushes the players underneath them as well. So, yeah, this club obviously had a change of a coach at the beginning of the year and they're starting to settle a little bit. And we're starting to see some of that football that we're used to seeing from Sydney. So it'll be interesting to see if they can catch up. Of course, they're 6 points behind the leaders at the moment, so only two wins away, although that depends, of course, on the Brisbane result this weekend. But they're certainly within touching distance and able to catch up. It's such a short season. These points are absolutely crucial. So do you want a little rundown of what's going to happen this weekend?
Absolutely.
Okay, so Saturday, of course, you mentioned the Victory. They are back in action against Adelaide. This will be a cracking match, two fairly evenly matched teams at the moment. Kyra Cooney-Cross is 15. She's the NAB Player of the Month for last season, so up for the Player of the Year award for the rookies and the juniors this year. She'll be back in action along with Melbourne Victory's Natasha Dowie, who I've spoken about a lot of times. She's very, very passionate, and Laura Alloway, of course. I'm tipping Victory to get across the line, even though Adelaide was sensational and got away with that draw against Melbourne City last weekend. I think Victory are going to come back. Following that, of course, we have the derby. That's at ANZ at 5 o'clock, Western Sydney taking on Sydney. I think Sydney might get the points this weekend. As you said, they're taking some form in there, and it's a pretty big game and an important win for them. Then on Sunday, the TV game, Fox Sports. Join me from 4 o'clock for the pre-game. Then, of course, kickoff is at 4:30, Fox Sports and SBS Viceland. Melbourne City against Canberra down in Melbourne. Now, this will be really interesting. Canberra's coming off a loss last week to Brisbane, who now sit top of the table after three in a row. Melbourne City have had some really mixed form this year, and I'm not sure if it's the pressure. Look, they looked really strong on paper, but we all know football is not played on paper, right? So they looked really strong on paper. They made those couple of big signings with Kaya Simon and Alana Kennedy, as well as their Jess Fishlock and all their other stars. Ivy Lewick's rejoined the squad now too, so that they will be strong, and this will be a really great game. It'll be a real battle of, they play similar style football, possession-based football, although I think Canberra will be a little bit more attacking. It'll be interesting to see if they can come back.
And with Canberra last week, with that loss against Brisbane at home, that would have hurt deeply, I think. And it was a really quite combative game last week between Canberra and Brisbane. So obviously Melbourne City are hurting, like you said. They're a bit indifferent with their form. I'm just wondering, Amy, whether the changes they've had of coaches over the journey. They had Montemurro, and then they had Jess Fishlock last year, and Paddy Kisnorbo stepped in. Do you think that might have unstabilised a little bit the team at all?
Yeah, and I think also you have to remember they've gone back to back, so two championships. It's pretty hard to keep up that form over a long period of time as well. And there's probably, I don't want to say complacency, there might be a little bit of complacency there, but yeah, the coaching situation, surely. Joe Montemurro was a fantastic coach, and obviously we can see that he's been picked up in the UK now. And then Jess took over, and I think things got a little bit unsettled through that middle period until Paddy took over. Mm. But he's had a season and a half and a good pre-season with this team. And although some of their stars came in late, they've had a long time to work. So I'm kind of disappointed with their form this year.
Mm-hmm. And of course, the last
game. Canberra would have been hurting, definitely. Mm. I know their coach, Heather Garriock, was not happy. She said they didn't implement the game plan that they'd put forward for that week. That, you know, it was only the one goal to Tamika Budd in the 66th, 67th minute, but it was enough. And Canberra had some chances during that game, but yeah, Brisbane are on a roll at the moment.
Mm. And, of course, that's a big game on the weekend too. Brisbane at home against Newcastle Jets on Sunday.
As I said, Brisbane three in a row going for four. They actually go to the top of the table outright with a win. So they'll actually jump Perth because Perth has the bye. They could go to 15 points and sit alone at the top of the table this week if they win over the Newcastle Jets. Jets have been impressive, but again, in different form, and the ladder shows where they sit. That they're equal with Canberra, equal second or fourth on the ladder, if you like to look at it that way. So it will be close, I think, this week. Newcastle will be out for the upset, but I think Brisbane will get away with it.
It's just so even this year, Amy. It's very, very interesting. And halfway through the season already, I can see why some of the girls just wanted the international week to be free of W League games, because you miss one or two games and suddenly you can be dropping mid-table or even towards the bottom. But, Amy, thanks for joining us today. Of course, your coverage...
Can I just mention one other thing quickly? Sure. Of course, the draw for the Asia Cup is on this Saturday night as well. So we'll find out who we're facing in Jordan on Saturday.
It gives us new reason to take notice of that, Amy, with the way the girls are going. And, of course, it's their big... It's the first big challenge after all the talk about how well they've gone. The first big challenge is that Asian Cup, of course, followed by Olympic Games, World Cups and those sort of things. Let's see whether the Matildas can do big things for us. But your game, your coverage of the W League is the Melbourne City and Canberra United game this weekend. And I know you'll present it as well as you always do, mate.
Thanks. Looking forward to it.
Good stuff. That's Amy Duggan, W League Fox Sports commentator. And don't forget to tune in on Sunday to the Fox Sports coverage of the Melbourne City and Canberra United game. They're doing a wonderful job with the W League. And I've got to say, I've got a new appreciation on how the women's game is really evolving and developing, because some of the stars that are playing are also playing for Matilda, so we got to know them, and they're going back to their club football and putting in the same effort, and some of the results have been fantastic. This is Calcio Cafe with Carlos Alberto Diego on FNR Football Nation Radio. There's more after the break. We'll have Stefan Mork from Melbourne City coming up also too.
FNR Football Nation Radio. Culture Cafe with Carlos Alberto Diego on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Streaming football 24/7 live, this is FNR Football Nation Radio, Calcio Cafe with Carlos Alberto Diego. Coming up very, very soon, it's Stefan Mork, star for Melbourne City, who will be joining us talking about his very, very good season after coming back from overseas. And Melbourne City back on the winning list also on the weekend with a terrific come-from-behind win against Newcastle Jets. We'll talk about all that with Stefan coming up. But first, let's go to some updates of the Champions League that's being played currently. It's half-time in all games, and Juventus away in Greece, 1-0 up, Cuadrado scoring in the 15th minute there. And, of course, it's an important game for Juventus. They don't want to at all put their chances of going through the next round in jeopardy. Of course, Manchester United at halftime, 1-0 down at home to CSKA Moscow. And the scorer there for CSKA Moscow right on halftime is Zagoev. Zagoev scoring there for CSKA Moscow. That's a bit of a shock at the moment. Manchester United are quite safe, I believe, on goal difference in getting through. But if CSKA Moscow do win today, they'll be on the same points as Manchester United. But as I said, goal difference for Man U is pretty strong. But Basel might be in trouble, even though they are 1-0 up at half-time. Yunusi scoring in the fifth minute, nice and early there for Basel. It's an away goal, which doesn't count for anything really in this competition, except for the fact that they are in line to get the 3 points there. So it's going to be a really tight finish. Basel, of course, I've got a positive goal difference of four. And if CSKA Moscow don't defeat Manchester United by a lot of goals, they may still not go through. So it's a really tight group there in Group A at the moment. In other games, we've got Bayern Munich. They're 2-0 up against Paris Saint-Germain at halftime. Of course, that's on the back of PSG's loss on the weekend in Ligue 1. So things aren't going so well for the French there. Lewandowski scoring in the eighth minute for Bayern, and also Tolisso scoring in the 37th minute. That group itself... Paris Saint-Germain are pretty much through to the next round anyway, and Bayern Munich are comfortably through, whether they win or lose today. Celtic and Anderlecht are the other two teams that can't get through, and at the moment they are at nil-all draw in that dead rubber there in Group B. We have Barcelona and Sporting Lisbon at the moment, a nil-all at half-time. And this is that group with Barcelona, Juventus, Sporting Lisbon and Olympiacos. Olympiacos can't get through. But Sporting Lisbon, depending on what Juventus do, if Sporting Lisbon can get the win over Barcelona, they will go through if Juventus don't finish off Olympiacos in this game. So it's really, really tight in that respect. Celtic and like as I said before, is nil-all draw at halftime. Chelsea is nil, and Atletico Madrid is nil at the moment. And that group is quite a tight group too. Chelsea's on 10 points, Roma's on 8 points, and Atletico Madrid on 6 points. Of course, Roma could be in trouble there if they don't beat a Carabag. At the moment, it's half-time in Italy, in Rome at the moment. Roma, Carabag, nil-all. And of course, that means that, if Atletico Madrid managed to beat Chelsea away from home, there will be a goal difference will come into play, and it's very, very tight in that respect. Roma have got the +2 in goal difference going into this game, and Atletico Madrid +1. So it's really tight to see who might go through in that game there. So they're the Champions League update results at the moment. We'll keep on bringing those to you in the rest of Calcio Cafe and also in the journos in the next hour. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll have a chat with Stefan Mork, a Melbourne City star, here on Calcio Cafe with Carlos Alberto Diego.
FNR, Football Nation Radio. Calcio Cafe with Carlos Alberto Diego on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Streaming football 24-7 live across Australia, this is FNR Football Nation Radio. Calcio Cafe with Carlos Alberto Diego. We've had a big show so far with George Halkias from the National Street Soccer Program. We've had Amy Duggan from Fox Sports, the W League expert there. Big round of W League coming up on Fox Sports this weekend. And now we go to Bundoora, to the training base of Melbourne City, and talk to a young star who's doing wonderful things this season in the A-League. And I talk of Stefan Mork. Good morning to you, Stefan.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, I'm really, really well, mate. Thanks for joining us here on FNR this morning. After starting the season so well as a team and experiencing some terrific wins in that first four games, there was a lull of results for the next 4 weeks, but the come-from-behind win against the Jets on the weekend must have been a pretty sweet moment for the team.
Yeah, I think so. I guess we did start the season very well with four wins, and then it was disappointing to drop a few points in the next couple of games, but I think the performances in those games were probably better than the first four games, and that's just sometimes what happens. The performances don't always mirror the results that come your way, and I think we spoke about that and just said that we need to keep going, and eventually they will come. And probably we got a little bit fortunate in the first half that Newcastle didn't take their chances, and we were able to come out in the second half and put in a really good 45 minutes and get 3 points.
What I really like about what's coming out of the Melbourne City camp this season, whether you play well or you don't play well, honesty is coming out. Warren Joyce is pretty honest about what's actually happening, which is fantastic for the fans out there, because I think they appreciate having the real picture of what's going on. During those four games when things, when the results weren't going your way, and as you said, there were great moments in those games where you could have taken those points, what was Warren Joyce's approach and focus during those 4 weeks?
I guess his main message is always about working hard. And if you put in the work during the week at training, then normally the results will come. And I think we had a really strong pre-season, so we're pretty resilient now, I think, in this group, where in previous years that hasn't been the case, where now I feel as if even though there is a couple of bad results, we can really get back on with it and just worry about the next game. And that's what we've tried to do the whole way along. You know, even when we won the games, we didn't get overly excited. And I think when you lose, it's not the end of the world. So I think that's what we've been trying to do. And obviously it was disappointing losing a few games in a row, but to bounce back against Newcastle was a really good performance.
Now, Stefan, you're a young guy. You've done a lot in a young career so far, but you rejoined the club from a stint overseas last year. It wasn't an overly happy one for you, but you've come back this year with more responsibility at the club. They've obviously, you're part of the leadership group there. What's the role that Warren Joyce has given you specifically on the field, given that you've got that extra responsibility now?
I guess on the field, there's not a whole lot different to the rest of the players. We all go out there and all try and help each other out. And it's more so, I guess, just off the field, trying to help any other younger players that have any problems. And I think we've got a pretty good group where even, you know, there's a lot of leaders that aren't in the leadership group, but they'll be looking to do things to help the team out. And I think that's the main message that it's always tried to be like, you know, it doesn't matter who who's saying something, who's trying to help you out or who's trying to make the team be better. You just have to listen and get on with it. And I think that's what's so good about this group. We have plenty of leaders, not just the ones that are in that leadership group.
So what has that year away in Holland done for your development? As I said earlier, it wasn't a really happy time for you, but I look at someone like Danny De Silva had a similar experience to you, and even Thomas Deng in Holland had a similar experience in that it wasn't a lot of game time. There was some difficulties and, you know, maybe some people might look at it as a something that might stymie your development. But all three of you have come back, I think, better players, and the resilience that's put into your game. Do you think in the long run it's going to do you much better than people might think it might have on your game?
Yeah, I think so. I guess, you know, for all three of us, we didn't play anywhere near as much as what we wanted to, but sometimes in those moments when you're not playing, you know, you're overseas in a foreign country, you learn the most about yourself as a player and as a person, and I think it's something that's good to experience as a young player rather than, you know, having too many highs. You know, now we've all kind of understood what it's like over there, and coming back to Australia, we know that you know, if you want to get another chance to go back over there, you have to be working extremely hard, and I think that's probably been the case for myself where, yeah, it wasn't the best of times, but also, you know, it was a great opportunity, and something that, you know, if someone gave me the opportunity to do it again, 100%, that would be something that I would want to do. But, yeah, I think you just have to try and take as many positives out of the situations as possible, and that's football. It's just a matter of opinion. So, you know, one coach thinks you're a great player and the next coach thinks that you're not good enough to play, and I think that's just a learning experience being a young person.
And it toughens you up at a young age, like you said, mate, which puts you in good stead for years to come. Many people are talking about the City are going through or needing to go through a cultural change as a club. You're uniquely placed as a person who was there a couple of years ago and a person who's there now. What do you see in the difference in the culture around the place these days?
Yeah, I guess it was never really too bad, I didn't think. I always thought the players got along with each other, and there was just, you know, small little problems along the way. And I think now, especially the way Warren is, he's massive on the culture and building the culture, and that, you know, everybody has a good work ethic. It doesn't matter if you're the highest paid player or whether you're a youth player training with us, everybody gets treated the same way. And I think that's probably the best way to be and the best way to build a culture of, you know, if you work hard and you're doing everything right, then you deserve to play. So I think that's the best way to try and build that culture from the ground up. And then in years to come, when new players come in, they straight away understand what it takes to be a part of this club.
Of course, you've got the Star Wars round this weekend, mate. I'm a bit hanging out for the Star Wars round. You've got Central Coast Mariners at home, I believe, this Sunday. They're a team that's really showing something at the moment, and they'd probably back themselves to get something out of this game. How are you approaching Central Coast Mariners this Sunday?
Yeah, I think they're a really good team. Having worked with Paolo before, and I know the way he wants his teams to play, and we played them in pre-season as well, and they looked quite sharp with a few of their players. So I think it's just, you know, it's like any other game for us. We're worrying more about ourselves and implementing the things we want to be implementing. And, you know, we know they've got their strengths, but they've also got weaknesses. So we need to make sure that we nullify them and exploit the weaknesses.
And what are the chances of Matty Muscat getting a winner again?
I'm pretty sure he's suspended this week from getting a yellow laid on. So probably not too likely, but he was looking very sharp at training yesterday again, so the confidence is high.
Yeah, well, he'd probably be telling everyone that he should be playing up front at the pointy end. So good on you, Stefan. It's really great seeing a young guy like yourself go through the good times and also the hard times, but come through that and perform the way you are at the moment. Good luck for the rest of the season. We hope to speak to you a bit later on down the track, maybe when you're in the finals towards the end of the season.
No worries. Sounds good. Thank you.
Good on you, mate. That's Stefan Mork, young star of Melbourne City, doing so well personally in the league this year, really showing something. And Melbourne City having a good win on the weekend, come from behind win against Newcastle Jets. Big, big game against Central Coast Mariners, though, this Sunday. That brings Calcio Cafe to an end for today. You can podcast the show on iTunes and also SoundCloud.com. So until this time tomorrow, may you have a fantastic day in football.
Culture Cafe with Carlos Alberto Diego on FNR, Football Nation Radio.